A year ago, Daniel Finney, Metro Voice columnist for the Des Moines Register, began his weight loss journey in a very public way. A year later, he's healthier, stronger, and 95 pounds lighter, but his struggle is far from over. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Daniel Finney is addressing his obesity on many levels. He's modified his diet, he has a constantly evolving exercise routine, and maybe most importantly, he has a strong network of support for his mental health. I'll talk with him this hour. Then, later on, Matthew Christopher is a rising star in the world of wedding gown design. He grew up in Wellman, Iowa, and he'll be back in the state for the first ever Flyover Fashion Fest in Iowa City. Join the conversation after the news. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Later this hour, I'll talk with wedding gown designer Matthew Christopher. He's returning to his home state for a fashion show this weekend. But first, it's been a year since Daniel Finney, Metro Voice columnist for the Des Moines Register, started writing about his weight loss journey in the Des Moines Register and on his blog, Making Weight. A year later, he's healthier, stronger, and 95 pounds lighter. He's encountered many challenges and many surprises along the way. An event will be held on May 22nd about making weight at the downtown Des Moines YMCA. Daniel Finney will be there, along with most of his medical team, his doctor, his psychiatrist, his personal therapist. He's here with us on the line today. Hello, Daniel.
Right on. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, welcome back to the show. And all right, we talked a year ago as you were just beginning this journey. And at that point, you had shared a lot about yourself with your readers. You were looking ahead to the year. You had set some goals, and you have surpassed the original goals that you set. When you think back to what you were hoping for in this first year of this journey, what are you surprised by now?
It's hard to look at it in terms of surprises and disappointments. I think it's more productive to look at it in terms of what did I learn, and I learned a lot about how the body holds on to weight, lets go of weight, how my body responds to certain kinds of foods and dietings. I learned about controlling cravings, and I learned about the psychological underpinnings of the reasons that I overeat. And I guess if there's any surprise, I'm still surprised and humbled that there are so many people who have followed along and for the most part sent very positive, upbeat, and encouraging letters, emails, phone calls, and so on.
I think it's striking reading your blog posts throughout the year. You've really been making tremendous progress, and I know you have a really enormous goal that you're trying to achieve. And every time you weighed in and weighed less, you were happy, but you also seemed to be frustrated by your progress. And every once in a while, the scale would go back up a little bit, and that would be such a blow to you. But at the beginning of the year, I think you were hoping to lose 50 pounds in this year, right?
Yeah, it's hard to keep the perspective of the long view when you can only live one day at a time. And so all of my doctors and nutritionists and physical therapists will say that weight loss that I'm trying to attempt at this scale, which is about 300 pounds, is going to be kind of a stair step process, and we want it to be, if it were an eighth grade geometry graph, we'd want it to look like a ski slope, but it's more like a stair step where you lose and then you hit a spot and then where you're stable for as much as a month or more, maybe even go up a few pounds and then lose some more, and so on. And that's very frustrating. And I think, you know, just like baseball players who want to get a hit every time, I do get frustrated and I get upset and I get anxious before going to weigh in because it's hard for a person to look in the mirror and see substantive changes just because of the way your brain works. You sort of remember what you look like and then your brain sort of fills that picture in before, rather than actually taking in what you're seeing.
Right, it's hard to see reality.
So there is an emotional component to it, and I do get frustrated. One of the things that I've learned in the last year is to measure success with other factors than just weight. The actual number of weight.
Right. Well, and 95 pounds is that sounds like an enormous achievement. But with the health gains that you've made, I think it pales in comparison. So can you compare for us, and as you have done on your blog, between the state of health that you were in when you started this journey and now, some of the real gains that you've made?
Well, I was thinking about that a little bit when I was walking to the studio today. I'm in the Des Moines studio, and there's a slight incline from the parking lot to the door that I came in.
Right. It's a pretty steep hill.
And a year ago, I would have needed a good 2 or 3 minutes to catch my breath after walking up that hill to get to the door. And it wasn't, it didn't even cross my mind that that was going to, it wasn't a big deal. It was fine. And it's always little things like that where I notice it, whether it's, standing up to get out of the car. And that was something that I used to need to use my arms and elbows to kind of pull myself up to where I'm able to do that without doing that, or the walk to the mailbox, which is maybe a block or a little bit less from my apartment, that used to be one of the things where I would get there and lean on the mailboxes and sweat and wheeze for a little while, and then, you know, get my mail and make it back to my apartment, and that was the end of the day of exercise or movement. And, you know, when I first started physical therapy last March, I could only walk in a circle for 156 feet before I had to stop, sit down, and I was in considerable pain and out of breath and covered in sweat. And now I can walk, you know, 2 or 3 miles without any problem.
You also, when you started this journey, and then this was one of the catalysts that set you off on this journey, you were in a lot of pain all the time. You really felt like maybe you were headed toward a wheelchair at that point.
Yeah, the thing began when I was working on a column at, interestingly enough, at Mercy Medical Center. And I had hurt my back way back in November of 2014, maybe early December. And I was carrying in too many groceries. And the reason I was carrying in too many groceries is it was too exhausting for me to make more than one trip from my apartment back to the parking lot to get groceries. So I'll just do it all at once, and then I won't have to worry about it. And I'd hurt my back. And this, I've hurt my back many times, you know, shoveling snow and whatnot. And I thought that it would heal just in a short amount of time. But it just, and months went on, and it just didn't get any better, and I was having friends help me carry in groceries and do basic stuff. And finally, when I was touring this neonatal care unit, this whole floor of young babies who were struggling to survive, I couldn't make it all the way around the tour. I stopped at the nurse's desk, and I was drenched in sweat, and my sweat was dripping onto the papers that were on the nurse's desk. And my friend, Greg Legan, who's the public relations person for Mercy, offered to get me a wheelchair. And that was sort of the moment where I realized that I had to make a change.
Your health gains, I mean, not only are you much stronger and you have a great deal more endurance, but also this can be measured in some other really concrete ways. And one of them is with your blood sugar. Mm-hmm. Tell me about that.
I was type 2 diabetic. And I had A1C, which is the way that they measure blood sugar. I had an A1C over 6. I think it was 6.1 or 6.3. I was taking metformin to control the blood sugar, but before exercise and diet, I wasn't really doing anything else to try and control that number. And my doctor was fairly adamant that I was going to have to start doing test strips and take insulin. And I really didn't want to do that for all of the obvious reasons. And also because I still wasn't admitting to myself that this was a problem. But after I started the exercise program, we were able to, after 4 months or so, we got the blood sugar down to the middle 5s, which was out of the pre-diabetic range. So I don't have to take that medicine anymore. I'm still considered a type 2 diabetic. I guess my pancreas is tired from all of the donuts that I ate earlier in my life, but I'm much more selective in my carbohydrates and sugar intakes, and it's less of a health concern. Wouldn't say I can put it in my rearview mirror, but I can put it in the back seat and not have that as an active concern.
We're going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment. I'm talking with Daniel Finney. He's the Metro Voice columnist for the Des Moines Register. And as many of you know, about a year ago, he started publicly writing about his weight loss journey, a journey that he hopes will result in the loss of about 300 pounds. A year after he started, he is, as we've been hearing, far healthier, far stronger. He's 95 pounds lighter, and he's continuing to share his progress and experiences with readers through the Des Moines Register and on his blog, Making Weight. There's an event coming up on May 22nd about making weight. It'll be at the downtown Des Moines YMCA. He'll be there along with most of his medical team as well. And you're welcome to join the conversation with your questions, to share your experiences. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Coming up in about 15 minutes, I'll talk with wedding gown designer Matthew Christopher. He'll be in Iowa City for the first Flyover Fashion Fest this weekend. But right now I'm talking with Daniel Finney. He's Metro Voice columnist for the Des Moines Register, and he's been writing about his weight loss journey for just about a year. In that time, he has lost 95 pounds. He has gained a great deal of strength and a great deal of health, and he's shared a lot of his journey with readers through his blog, Making Weight. And Daniel, when you first started sharing this journey with people, were you expecting to share as much about the mental health components of your work, of your fight?
Well, to be honest, I'm way more passionate about the mental health part of it than I am the physical health part of it, because both obesity and mental health have a language problem in our society. So, and I think a thinking problem. And I think that when it comes to mental health, we use words like demons and other kind of scary mythological monster talk when we're talking about people who have addictions or mood disorders such as depression or anxiety. And I don't think that we do that when we talk about people who have, say, heart disease or, you know, other kinds of health problems. We don't, you know, say to someone who has high blood pressure, oh, he's, you know, he's got the, you know, the demon of high blood pressure. But if someone has a mood disorder, that's a demon. I think that there's a kind of a sub-message there that the brain is somehow something other than an organ, that it's magic, and that it is it, that if it malfunctions, that's some sort of fault in the soul or something like that. And I talk about it a lot because there are a lot of people who I call them fellow travelers that live with these kinds of problems and are afraid to talk about them because people will look at them funny. They'll think, oh, this person has a mental health issue. They're, you know, 4 or 5 seconds away from becoming the next active shooter. And, you know, that's just not the case. And so I talk about that because living with this stuff is not easy, but it's manageable and it's treatable with therapy and it's treatable with medication. Conversely, or coincidentally, obesity has a lot of language problems too. And I think it's because a lot of people default to the idea that there needs to be blame assessment with someone who's obese, that it's kind of like, and I wrote about this in one of my blog posts, it's kind of like if someone gets lung cancer and dies, someone will invariably ask, well, did they smoke? And then if they said yes, it's like, well, it's like they deserved it. It's sort of an unintended consequence of anti-smoking campaigns. And I think people look at obesity in the same way is oh, well, you know, that person has heart problems and they're fat. They deserve it. But obesity is a lot more complicated than that. And then appetite is more complicated than that. And it's tied to our mental health and why we eat and what we eat and in what quantities often have emotional components. They do for me. And so writing about the mental health part of it is very important to me because I think that people look at, not everyone, but many people look at those of us who are obese and say, well, just eat less and move more and you'll be fine and put the fork down. And it's really, really not that simple.
Well, and I think one thing you've done beautifully in your work on the blog is help us understand how intertwined these two aspects of your health are, because mental health issues are something that if you look at cause and effect, they've contributed to your obesity. At the same time, obesity contributes to mental health issues. It's not just a cause and effect relationship. There is this intertwined web that for every step, there's another step.
In my case, I did a lot of, ended up doing research on this while I was working on this, and I've been in talk therapy off and on for many years. And I take medicines for depression and anxiety. But I don't think that I'd ever bothered to connect or thought about or worked directly on the problem of connecting those mood disorders with how I was eating. And for me, there are two ways that I respond to the chemical imbalances in my brain that cause mood or disorders. Like if I'm depressed or sad or sometimes bored, the two things that I do is I'm a spendthrift, and I buy things that I don't need with money I don't have, and I eat. And the problem with that is you can spend yourself into bankruptcy and you can eat yourself into an early grave. And I was well on my way in terms of the eating problem. And so working on why I was doing that in terms of what experiences that I'd had in my life, and I was associating pleasure or relief or comfort with the act of eating certain kinds of foods, whether it's sugary breakfast cereals or even the ritual of going to a restaurant and, you know, socializing with friends or the wait staff or whatnot, was a part of feeling better, and I had to look for and work hard to find other ways to get that serotonin release besides just eating more food.
One of your columns detailed the first time you think you have felt the kind of exercise high that a lot of people who exercise regularly talk about and swear by. And of course, there's a lot of research that backs up regular exercise as something that helps alleviate some mental health issues. And in feeling that high for the first time, does that change how you think about exercising?
Well, I don't know that I was ever diametrically opposed to exercising. I don't want to be a jogger or a runner, and I'm never going to be one of these people who, you know, wears costumes and participates in every 5K for a cause that occurs, but or has, you know, color dust thrown on me or whatnot. I'm not going to be one of those people, but not that there's anything wrong with that. It's just not for me. But I think, you know, it's an object at rest tends to stay at rest, and that's just how I was, and many times still am. And the exercise that I've been doing with Nate Yoho over at CrossFit Merle Hay is stuff that I've never done before. I mean, I did some weightlifting as when I played high school sports back when I was, you know, a sophomore more than 25 years ago. But I hadn't done that since. And there's a lot of challenge. I always leave there tired and sweaty, but it's that good kind of tired and sweaty where you've really accomplished something. And so I think what I enjoy more about exercise is the camaraderie that I feel with Nate, the sense of belonging and sort of clubhouse feeling that his gym has, and the fact that I'm no longer intimidated by the fact that there are people who are at much greater fitness levels than I am doing amazing, you know, gymnastic things and moving incredible amounts of weight that I'm not even close to being able to try. And the first time that I went there, I thought, oh, I shouldn't be around these people. I'm going to be in the way. And now I'm much more comfortable saying that's where they are and that's what they're doing, but I have these things to do over here. That's been a big shift for me.
I'm talking with Daniel Finney. He's been writing about his weight loss journey and his health journey in the Des Moines Register and on the blog Making Weight. And one of the pieces of advice that people are often given when they start off trying to lose weight is to make it public, is to tell your friends and family, to give yourself a kind of accountability. You did that times 1,000, times 10,000, maybe, in making this so public. And that was a really scary thing to do, I would imagine. You made yourself incredibly vulnerable, but it also, do you think that it's been a major motivator for you because you made this so public? Has that helped you stay the course?
That's hard to say. I mean, I didn't think anyone would care. And this is the first time in history that a reporter will give credit to his editor. But I had just written the column kind of as on Saturdays, I write notes columns and comment on different things in society or, you know, pop culture stuff or, you know, a little story from my own life. And I had just written it as one of those, just kind of one of these anecdotally, gosh, basically I was saying I'm really sick and I need to get better. And it was my editors who said, well, you know, people are going to be really interested in this. They're going to want to follow this. They want to get to know more than just a one-off. In terms of sharing it public, it's been a largely positive experience. And as a motivator, I would say I'm much more motivated by increased mobility, strength, and just feeling better, having more energy. But whenever you put something into the world, there's always going to be that part of the world that comes back at you just because they can. And I guess the original intent for the internet was to share, to collect and then share all of the knowledge gathered by throughout the history of mankind. But what we've used it for primarily is perfecting the expression of anger.
Mm-hmm.
And so I may get 99 positive comments, but then there'll be someone who, for whatever reason, wants to be angry or is angry that day and has decided that I'm the thing that has made them angry, and maybe I have. They will either bring up my weight or attack the series as pointless fluff, or, you know, in the 70s, the Register did better journalism, or whatever. I recently had gotten a letter from someone, an email from someone who didn't like a profile I'd written of the Drake University president. And he closed the note with a line, "Boy, I'm sure looking forward to the next edition of your series about, oh gosh, folks, I'm really trying to lose weight, .. oops, I gained 7 pounds. Which I had recently written about gaining 7 pounds. And I don't know where that comes from in people. It always baffles me. It hurts my feelings. I'm not going to pretend that I'm made of stone and that you can't hurt me with words and things that you send in the mail. I think we do ourselves a disservice as people to pretend that we should all have thick skin or shake it off. I don't think that's true for anyone. I think that's just a thing that we say. And so that part of it has been very hard for me. And I wish that I could say, look at the evidence, and most people say positive things, and there's just this one or two negative things. But those negative things really do hurt, and I ruminate them on them more than I should, more than I would like to. And that's an aspect that I have to work on, not just with the Making Weight series, but with all of my work, because if you're putting yourself out in the public in any way, there are just going to be people who are going to be jerks, and I have to work hard not to make sure that that doesn't become a point for me to say, well, you know, to heck with it, let's go get a box of Krispy Kremes.
Let's look ahead to the next year or the next 2 years. You always knew that this was going to be a long journey, and you made a commitment to share it online. What do you see happening for you in the coming months? You've been taking it in many ways one step at a time, but I'm sure this marker makes you think about the future.
I'd like to do at least as well as I have in the last year as I did in the previous year, but I also know that there's that's going to be more difficult, because the weight that you lose early on is a little bit easier to lose than the weight you lose going on. I mean, the first 5 pounds are a lot easier to lose than the last 5 pounds in a journey. What I want to do is continue to be active, particularly working out with Nate and at the gym. I want to continue to be very, very honest with people. I had recently done, right after the year celebration, and we had a big story and a big double truck spread in the Sunday paper about it. Right after that, my next weigh-in, I was up 7 pounds, and that was just devastating. But I'd also looked at how I'd been tracking my calories, and I had been up, and some of that was due to the fact that I was exercising more and my appetite had increased because I was burning more calories, and I took my calories down to do that, but I was also hungry doing that. So I want to be honest about those kinds of things.
Well, Daniel Finney, we will keep reading and keep watching, and I hope you'll check in and talk with us again.
I appreciate you having me. Thanks, Charity.
Thank you. Daniel Finney, Metro Voice columnist for the Des Moines Register. He's been sharing his weight loss journey in the Register and on the blog Making Weight. It's been a year, and he's got an event coming up on May 22nd. It's kind of a TED Talk type event about making weight at the downtown Des Moines YMCA. He'll be there with most of his medical team, his doctor, psychiatrist, and personal therapist. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.